Hey, when a medical mistake causes you injury, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns from Elk and Elk. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We are waiting the start of Mike Pettine's post-practice news conference. We're going to join that live when he gets to the podium, and we get the heads up from our producer, Matt Fontana, that we are ready to go to that. So that's what's going to come up next. In the meantime, we could hear from you if you want to call us at 216-578-0850. You continue to tweet us on a hashtag Mailbag Wednesday. So we want to make sure you're engaging with us on that count. I want to go back to what we just talked about a little earlier, and that's Justin Gilbert. And honestly, Nathan, there's a couple of things here. People talked about handling the pressure of being a quarterback in this quarterback battle. How about the pressure of being a rookie, starting your first game as a rookie, and basically having to play the entire thing because there's six other players at your position that are hurt. So you're being judged on what you can do in your first outing, and you're probably getting far more extended action than a rookie would normally get. That was impressive that Gilbert held up under those circumstances.
Absolutely. I thought it was good, and he started off, locked it up. You know, Pierre Garçon, he had Jordan Reed on the very first place of the game. I thought it was very good. I think that Justin Gilbert is a guy who has continued to impress once he got on the pads and once he got on the field and got to be a little bit more physical. And I thought he did a good job. Obviously, one penalty flag, but for the most part, looked good out there, had a lot of good mirroring coverages. His ability to change directions is unbelievable. And the way that he can go, even when he gets turned around, which he did at times, he's able to close and get back there so quickly. I think Justin Gilbert, to me, I saw enough where I'm ready to start him week one opposite Joe Hayden.
Me too. Josh, it's at -2324 via Twitter, says, good choice for the Browns, going with Hoyer. He says, do you see a Johnny package being put together? I absolutely see this.
I still think a Johnny package because I think you want to still get him some meaningful reps. You want to still get him an opportunity to develop. And not only does the Johnny package help Johnny prepare, but it also makes defenses spend time in the middle of their week game planning for the Cleveland Browns to game plan for the Johnny Manziel package. And that's why it sounds inappropriate to say it, but that's why you want to have that in there so that it takes time away from focusing on what will be the main part of your offense as long as Brian Hoyer is the team starting quarterback.
And that thought is implanted in the back of every opposing defensive coordinator's mind like now, or has been maybe, I shouldn't say now, from draft day forward. And that is the case. And look, they've been doing this. I mean, they have a Manziel style offense in place. He utilized it. You've seen flashes of it in games. They've worked on it in practice. They've discussed it in meetings, but you didn't see a whole lot of it because the vast majority of, again, first-team reps were taken by Brian Hoyer, and he was the starter for the first two preseason games. But the pistol, the shotgun, the different looks that involved, and take advantage of one thing that I'll tell you, the best thing that Johnny Manziel does consistently well is handle the ball. His ball handling on play fakes is exceptional, better than Hoyer's. And I think it's also a matter of training, as I've kind of studied this and talked with different coaches about this. It's how you're taught to do this, and you get into certain habits. Well, along the way, Manziel, whether it started in high school or at his time at Texas A&M, really learned that sleight-of-hand movement that sells the run very well. And, of course, nothing sells the run better than running well, or at least the potential to run well, which is, I think, what opponents have when they look at this Browns offense. And Mike Pettine, the head coach of the Browns, stepping to the podium now. We're going to go to that live.
Okay, I'll open it up.
Hey, Mike, how much do you hope that the decision will just kind of ease whatever burden might have been on Brian during this whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. I think he's handled it well, but I think if you asked him that there was some stress there, but I mean, that's part of football. We wanted to stress our guys. We wanted to put them in tough situations. We talked to the team all the time about mental toughness and dealing with adverse conditions, and I think that was something that they went through and had to deal with, and I think it'll only make them stronger.
Do you think we might have underestimated how much stress might have been on Brian in that he's trying to come back from the injury?
I think the injury was a big part of it. I mean, he hasn't had that many true reps with a live pass rush. And I think anybody, I mean, we saw it a little bit with it. It took Travis some time to get back, Charles Johnson some time to really start to feel it. And I don't think it's any different at the quarterback spot.
How much more pressure is on guys when you go ahead and open it up to a competition as opposed to if you would have named a starter back in June? And in other words, do you guys see stuff more with that? Is that pressure real on those guys when they're going through that?
I think it is. And, again, I think that's a big part of football is dealing with an adverse situation or a competitive one. We don't ever want a guy to feel like, hey, I'm good. I mean, that's to me. There's no better motivating force in all of athletics than pure competition. And I think that guys get a chance to kind of see where they are when the heat's on. We see how guys react to it.
Mike, is there any indication on the film review of Poyer's throws that the knee is affecting his throwing?
I don't see it.
How about you think mentally or psychologically it's there?
Yeah, that's something you'll have to ask him, and maybe it's a subconscious thing, but I'm not sure. I don't. The injury didn't occur in the pocket, so I don't know how much there is to that, but I'm not sure how he would answer that.
Did you tell the quarterbacks yourself, or did somebody?
I told him this morning.
And how did Manziel take that?
As expected.
What's that? Kevin
doesn't
necessarily expect anything.
True. He's a competitor. He wants to be out there. But he knows there's some things he needs to work on, and it's his job to press on and prepare every week like as if he's the starter. I mean, I think that's on anybody that's not in the starting position, that they have to take that approach. And I don't care whether it's a quarterback, a corner, a defensive lineman, that they have to put themselves in that position to take those reps as the starter, whether it's mentally or physically. Physically, there'll be fewer reps, so I think he really has to dial in on the mental part. But he's one that he knows the task that's ahead of him.
Mike, you were talking about players handling pressure, and I wonder how do you think Brian handled it?
I think he had a lot going on. We'll see how things are for him now. I think maybe there's some. Whether it's a sense of relief or some refound confidence. But I just think he was dealing with a lot coming into camp where he was a hometown guy and was the starter, but he had a draft pick competing with him. And certainly we've already discussed it here, is just coming off the injury. I think that's a lot on a young guy's plate.
Mike, as an outsider, when you look at it, you would say statistically, it doesn't seem like he handled it very well.
Well, statistically, I think I don't get wrapped up in the numbers. There, I think he had some drops that you can factor in, some routes that were run at the wrong depth, at the wrong angle. So I don't put a lot of. You can just. It's easy to look at the numbers, and I think when you look at the tape, it tells a very different picture.
Mike, yesterday afternoon on the conference,
you talked about a relief. Could you sense that with the team? Like finally, we have our answer and we're moving forward.
I couldn't sense. I mean, I announced it to the team this morning. I mean, there wasn't anything that was that you could sense at that time, but I'm sure that when you talk to the guys that will likely factor in. No, I thought today was our first day not in pads, and I thought they handled it well. I thought we had good energy after coming off of a day off. And I think we'll go in the same format tomorrow because we showed that we can still have a productive practice and not be in pads. So I think given the short week, we want to keep our energy up, and I think that's important to be able to practice like that. But I like the way I thought we had a positive day. I think you can attribute it to a number of things.
Mike, why did you ultimately decide not to let the competition play out until after the next preseason?
Because of the reason before where I had kind of targeted this week, that we wanted to have a starter in place, and there's no substitution for live game reps with the guys that you're going to be playing with. There's so many plays where it involves being on the same page, and if you've never got a chance to practice them together, and more importantly, being in a game situation together, I think you're doing yourself a disservice. So we wanted to make sure it was. Because I talked before when we announced that it would be a competition, finding that sweet spot between if you do it too early, then they really didn't compete at all. If you do it too late, you run the risk of now nobody's ready for the opener. You don't have cohesion, chemistry, things that I've talked about. So that's why we had targeted it and felt when we met last night that we had enough information to go ahead.
Do you think, having said that, when you look back on it, would you have done anything differently in this process?
I know there's a lot of different ways to do it. This is the way that we chose. I think ultimately it depends on what our, because we're all judged here on wins and losses. I think how it plays out. But as far as coming up with a plan, formulating the plan and executing it, and this is how we want to do it, I feel confident with it. I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, I regret doing it at this point. I know when you looked at the game, you know, it was easy for people to say, well, they can't get in a rhythm because they're not out there, but that's something that we wanted to put them in tough situations and see how they handle it. So I know there's a lot of different ways to do things, but we were confident in our plan and we stuck to it.
What was it you said to Brian about the leash? Like, how can he play unencumbered? And will there be a package for Johnny, or is it, this is Brian's job?
No, this is Brian's job. This is Brian's job, and I never think of it as a, whether it's a leash or we want a guy to be a game manager. That we want him to be confident and go out and play. People have looked at our roster, and you know we've added running backs, and we've looked to improve the offensive line, and that we want to be a well-rounded, all-weather offense, and we need to be productive, and you can't have one without the other. I think you have to be productive in all phases, but I think it starts with the run, and it starts with pass protection. But I don't want our guys on offense to feel like there's any type of governor there that they can't just cut it loose and be aggressive. I think when you feel like you're going to be solid on defense, I think that allows you to be even more aggressive on offense.
Mike, do you think had Johnny Manziel dedicated himself more after the draft to just sticking around here and working, that he would have had a better chance of winning this job?
I don't question his dedication. I don't. He made tremendous strides from an X's and O's standpoint, from the time he left here after the, I think it was the rookie symposium, till the time he came back. So, I know there's been a lot of discussion about his activity then, but he clearly studied and studied a lot and came back significantly ahead of where he was when he left.
This is kind of turning a page on one part of your first training camp. What's on the next page now? What in the development of this team now that you've got the quarterback issue settled?
Chemistry is a big part of it. Getting guys out playing together, starting to narrow the package down to fit what we do well, and then start to get a little bit more opponent specific. We'll do that this weekend with the St. Louis game, and then you're always kind of looking at the season in chunks. And we did some good work as a staff in the off season on Pittsburgh and New Orleans and Baltimore, and I think it's getting to the point now where with camp broken. That we need to go ahead and start to look ahead to that first part of the season.
Mike, did you have a package for Johnny?
What's that?
Will you have a package for Johnny?
No, I was already asked that.
I'm sorry, you got here as quickly as you could.
No, it was asked like while you were standing here, but.
Whether there'll be a package for Johnny?
Yeah, didn't you ask me that?
Yes.
Well,
I didn't
know
that question. I apologize.
No, we want our, the plays that he would run if he got into the game would be more suited to him. I don't foresee us now, especially early, being in a two quarterback system.
In the school of thought of Manziel's not it now, but he'll play sometime this year. Will he play sometime this year, or is it possible that he will not?
Yeah, give me a crystal ball. I'll tell you that answer. You can. The NFL season is so long. So much can happen, and we don't ever want our players. And I talked about this already about the quarterbacks that we don't want them. I don't want Brian looking over his shoulder thinking, hey, I make one bad throw, I'm out. But over time, if you feel you need to make a change, and it's not just that quarterback, it'll be at other positions as well. So you have guys that you have penciled in that you're hopeful can be that guy for you the whole year, but that rarely works out in the league. So time will only tell. I mean, you could foresee a scenario where he doesn't play this year, and then there are other scenarios that are absolutely possible as well. So it's hard to tell.
When you look at the film of the first two pieces of games and talk to Kyle and Dowell, do you notice anything in Bryant's delivery why some of those throws have been inaccurate? I'm thinking the Hawkins one and a couple I went to Detroit.
Nothing. I mean, nothing from a true mechanical standpoint. I mean, those guys would be able to answer that best. But I just think they were just two throws. I don't know whether it was a case where he overstrided. I know that the Hawkins one is tough because he was so explosive out of the break that Brian threw it to a spot and Hawk was so fast getting out of the break that he essentially overran it. Brian knows that lesson learned that Hawk is a guy that's going to it's going to eat up some ground in a hurry, and he's got to be. The plus is he's going to be open. The minus is that it's a tougher target to hit.
When you watch that, Tom, when you guys watch two more films, do you notice it does seem like your receivers are getting open? In other words, one of the things about how systems in Washington were saying that the system allows receivers to get open. In watching the tapes, are these guys getting open to satisfaction, or are the windows a lot smaller?
We are. I mean, I think we can get better, and that's part of having an inexperienced group in the system. But I think I think we made strides with that in camp, and then hopefully we'll take another step this weekend. But we told our guys at halftime of the Washington game, we need to make plays. The NFL is about making plays, and I think it was our guys have to realize that somebody's got to step up, and we got to put it all together. It's a quarterback making it, running back, whatever it is, but it's offensive football especially is about guys making plays.
Mike, last week when you said that you didn't necessarily want to make a permanent commitment to your week one starter, it sounds like maybe you're kind of backing off on that a little bit. Or what is your approach?
No, I don't want to make a permanent commitment to any starter. I just don't think you can do that. I think you make more of a commitment to your quarterback because of the unique circumstances that surround that position. But I think I think you need all your guys on the roster running scared a little bit that, hey, listen, if I don't perform, this is a performance-based business. If I don't perform, I'm not going to be in here.
Hey, do you have an update on Devin Bryant? Devin Bryant?
On Dez? Dez did have wrist surgery. But his return is, we're just not sure of the target yet. We don't think it'll be that long. But I still don't have the full details of what. I know it went well. But it's we don't know if we'll be available for the opener yet or not.
Not an IR thing?
It's definitely not an IR thing.
Mike, do you have any other positions that have been settled that you'd like to name? I mean, you said you were going to try to settle all positions last night on the conference.
Yeah, the other ones we feel where we can kind of job share a little bit. I thought Gilbert played extremely well the other night. I thought he there was one coverage where he played off a little bit too much. But I think for the most part, his first time out there, that he had a great look about him. He took the field. He was confident. He was smiling for a lot of the game. Didn't have that. Sometimes rookies get that deer in the headlights look. He didn't have that at all. We haven't decided yet. It's a little bit uncertain with Buster's injury, but Justin will likely be the starter on day one. And then I think Kirksey and Robertson, I think, have both earned a spot on this defense. So I think they'll really be both starters based on what package we're in. Really depends on what personnel group the opponent's in.
And right guard?
Yeah, you could say Greco at this point. I think the starting five in the O-line has been solid for a while.
Were you happy with the running game last week?
I thought we ran a little bit better. I thought Tate showed up a little bit more, averaged over 5 yards a carry. There was a couple run. You know, there was 1 4-yard run. He turned into a 7-yard run. I thought that was good. West has done some good things. He's learning. So it's and I think that competition's still wide open for that third running back spot.
All right, thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Okay, that was the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, addressing the media and sounding pretty much all in on Brian Hoyer. And I think he wanted to make it clear, Nathan, that this decision is not made with trepidation or hesitation or terms like short leash. A lot of stuff that's commonly talked about in the media that, you know, this is a placeholder versus starting the guy and going confidently into the season with him and giving him no reason, Pettine said, he didn't want to do this, to look over his shoulder.
I think that's good. Listen, he is the starter. He also said he did not foresee a two-quarterback system when asked if there would be a package for Johnny Manziel. So it sounds like there will not be a special situations. Now, I wouldn't rule that out completely for the long term, but
right.
That was one thing that certainly was clear. This is Brian Hoyer's team. Brian Hoyer is the quarterback. Everything's going to be built upon getting Brian Hoyer ready to be the starter against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Brian Hoyer will be going to the podium right now to talk to the media.
How's it going?
Good. You?
Good.
Brian, any sense of relief that this is over now and you've been named the starter?
No, I mean, I think for me it's excitement and you know, this is what I worked for a whole year to get back to, and obviously it's good to move forward and move on with the decision being made and just get back to work, get ready for St. Louis. Like I said all along, you know, it's been my mentality this whole off-season training camp, you know, to come out here and act like the starter and be the starter. And so now that it's official, we can just move on and get ready for St. Louis.
Could you just talk, 6 years in the league, and now you have earned the starting quarterback job for opening day. What is just tell us what that must be like for you.
It was exciting when Coach Pettine told me this morning. I'm sure I cracked a smile. But you realize, you know, all the work I've put in, now here's my shot, and just go out and run with it. And, you know, like I said before, all you can ask for is an opportunity and to go out and try to seize it. And then, you know, now that it's here, just, you know, now it's time to work harder. And as much work as I've put in, I have to be even better and work harder.
Right, now that this thing's over, do you think you can just relax and be what you were last year?
Yeah, I don't think I haven't been relaxed. I think, you know, the other night, you know, things got a little messed up. We had a bad first series, and then, you know, you're sitting down for a little bit. I think, you know, people want to pin that on pressure or whatever it is. I think we just played poorly, not, you know, us as an offense collectively, and we got to be better than that. So, you know, I don't think it ever got to me. Like I told someone, I can't remember who it was, this is actually the most relaxed I've been in a training camp in my career, because I was in the spot to be a starter, and that had never been given to me before. So, you know, like I said, it's good now to have a decision and just move forward and look forward to, you know, St. Louis and then the regular season.
Ryan, did the coach tell you guys at the same time that you were in the room
together? I believe he told me first.
Yeah. So you weren't in the room with John?
No.
How much work are you doing on Pittsburgh at this point?
You know, we've watched a little bit of film, but not much. I mean, obviously, a third preseason game, you know, you're going to play a little bit longer. So, you know, we're really just looking at St. Louis at this point.
Did the Steelers kind of flash through your mind? He says you're the starter. That's
yeah,
starting against.
I do. I think, you know, it's a common opponent that we had last year. Nothing's really changed. You know, obviously, Dick LeBeau's there. You know, we can go back and watch the film from him. I know Kyle's played him in the past, so it is definitely something we're looking forward to. But, you know, right now you got to look at the short term, and that's playing St. Louis on Saturday night.
Brian, how can you assure fans that, you know, what they saw in that game Monday night, that things are going to come together and be okay offensively?
Well, I think we're just going to go out and keep working and getting better. We came out in, you know, a hot and humid day, short rest, and we had a great practice today. And that's all you can do is you need to come out and improve every day. You either get better or you get worse. And obviously we were all disappointed in how things played out on Monday night. But I think, you know, for us, we're just consistently trying to get better. And you need to be better and consistent when you are doing things well. So obviously it's always a work in progress. But, you know, we were all disappointed and it really embarrassed with the way, you know, things came out Monday night. But you got to put it, you know, we watched the film, learn from those mistakes, and look forward.
Did you feel this was possible right after the knee surgery last year?
Yeah, I think so. I think, if anything, last year the biggest thing was I proved to myself that I could play in this league. I think you always think you can, and then to get out there and play and have success, it proves to yourself. And I think it's paid dividends this year as far as my mental preparation and how I am going into games, whereas last year I was pretty anxious and nervous, and now this year, knowing that I've gone out and done it on the field against, you know, real NFL competition, not just preseason games, it does give you a boost of confidence.
Can you look forward to being the guy week one in Pittsburgh for the Browns? I mean, you know, the whole
yeah.
thing up there.
Obviously, it's very special to me. It's, like you said, did I believe this was could happen after I got hurt? There was no doubt in my mind, but obviously there were days where, you know, rehab sucked and I hated what I was doing, but I knew the feeling I had running out onto that stadium or running off the field after we beat Cincinnati, and it's all worth it. So it's amazing how much you appreciate the game when it's taken away from you. And so for me, you know, this is what I put in all those hours, rehab, now being with Kyle, learning a new system in the off season, throwing extra routes with those guys. I mean, you know, that's what you do it for. And so it's an exciting time.
Right. If you go back to the day you were released by the Patriots, I mean, did you think then this could be the end?
Never. I never thought that. I always was confident in myself. I thought I had proved in times that I had played there that I could play in this league. And like I said, you can do it in the preseason or at the end of, you know, a game at the end of the regular season. But, you know, I had enough confidence in myself that would not be the end of my NFL career. And, you know, it's been a struggle. And I think the adversity I've dealt with throughout my career, whether it be college, NFL, you know, it prepared me for this situation. And I think, you know, how you handle adversity is a true test of a man's character. And, you know, when you just keep battling back and pushing through, I think, you know, those type of situations helped me with dealing with this situation.
Brian,
satisfied with your accuracy at this camp, or do you, is there a, like, what do you account for?
Yeah, you know, I think Aditi said it after the game, you know, you're hitting all those throws in Berea. Well, on Berea, it doesn't count. So, obviously, there's disappointment with not hitting some of those guys in the games. But I think, you know, it's something that we're continuing to work on. You know, we get some extra routes. And you just got to do it at game speed. And it'll come. I truly believe that. As long as you're working at it, you know, as much work as we have gotten together, you know, we got to work more. And that's the only thing you can do is go out and try to get better at those things. And, you know, for me, as a quarterback, I want to throw the perfect ball every time, regardless of, you know, the coverage or who the receiver is. So I know that I can be a lot better when it comes to that.
But your mobility hasn't been affected by the injury. Do you think your accuracy has been?
No, I don't think so. I think there's times where I come out in camp and I'm putting balls exactly where I need to be. So I don't really attest that to anything other than just trying to work out the kinks. And, you know, there's no excuse for it. You just got to do it because we do it out here every day.
Brian, Coach Pettine, you know, mentioned he doesn't want any starter, regardless of position, to get too comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
How do you approach, though, balancing just going out there, doing your thing versus looking over your shoulder?
I think for me, my entire career has been looking over my shoulder. You're always, and the pressure you put on yourself is far greater than anything that, because when you're a rookie undrafted and you're trying to come in and make a team, there's no one, you know, to look over. You're just trying to get on the team. And to me, I feel like I'll carry that chip with me forever, that, you know, every day I come out here, I'm just trying not to get cut. And I think, you know, when you have that mentality, you push yourself to the limit, and the pressure you put on yourself is far greater than any pressure the media can put on you or your teammates or your coaches can put on you. Because for me, for most of my career, it was about, you know, keeping my career alive and doing anything it took to just make a team. And now that I'm a starter, you know, you have to take that mentality and enhance your play as a starter. I think it can only help me.
Hey, Brian, got time for two more questions?
When you got named starting quarterback this morning, who was the first phone call you made, and what did you say?
Actually, it was Coach Pettine called me in his office about 3 or 4 minutes before the team meeting, so I didn't even get a chance to tell anyone. And then by the time that meeting broke out, my phone was just, I mean, I think I had 37 text messages. So, you know, I think the media probably broke it before I could break it to anyone else.
Do you expect them to tailor the offense to what you do best, and will that make it easier to learn this? Seems like.
No, I mean, I think that's what we've done all along. I don't think, you know, unless you guys don't think I can run the read option. I mean, you know, and even that, I've gotten work with that. So I think everything that we've done, I'm capable of doing. And, you know, I think if you look at Kyle's history, he's so versatile in the things that he does, whether it's top rushing attack, top passing attack, balance. I mean, I think we can do so many things very well, but we just have to continue to improve. I mean, obviously, you know, the other night, it didn't look that way, but I see how we practice. I see how we played in the Detroit game. Obviously, we shot ourselves in the foot a few times, but I think we can be a very potent offense.
Hey, Brian, what do you think about?
That was the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, Brian Hoyer, addressing the media for the first time after being named the team starter. We're going to take our final break and be back to wrap things up here on a very newsworthy Wednesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.